This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
Last week we learned concerning deliverance. I reminded you that in this place there's a ministry, and I reminded you a few things that you need to do to identify certain areas in your life. But today I just want to take you back to the things that you've learned throughout the years, and maybe it may be new to you, how to maintain your deliverance. Amen. We see in the ministry of Jesus, let's look at Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So when Jesus was on earth, his ministry was also about deliverance, to set the captives free. And we find that deliverance is in four levels. The casting out of demons, inner healing, number two, and wrong thinking patterns that are known as strongholds. A stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based on lies, deception. Sometimes you know you've received your healing, but you hear a whisper that tells you you are not, and you believe in it. And the removal, fourthly, is the removal of legal rights that allows someone to be held in bondage and confess sin and forgiveness and godly soul ties, holding on accursed things, finding ourselves in things that we tend to practice. I remember a certain young lady almost 30 years ago, used to tell me that if you walk with me, no one will greet you. And I wondered why. So, one day we're going out to lunch. It was our time to do lunch because we used to do lunch at the same time at work. And when we went to lunch, for real, this is weird. Everybody would be smiling and they would be smiling at her. And nobody would smile at me and they would greet her. We will get in, I'm the one trying to do the conversation of what we're going to buy. Instead, they'll be asking her. And by the time we reached back, she already had herself like some few, you know, maybe let me say $20, $30 in her pocket from strangers. Until I was always wondering, how is that possible? Is there something wrong with me? Then one day, while she's cleaning her bag, you know, in women's bags, you guys are good because you're sanctified. But there were certain Christians, whether they were sanctified, but they had both worlds. So when she throws her things out, a little ball was in her bag. So I asked her, "What's this little ball?" He says, "You mean you don't have that?" I said, "No, don't have that. And I don't even know what it is. So you can explain." And when she explained to me, I was so amazed and appalled. I said, "Really? I mean, don't you think you'll be held? I mean, you will not let go of this thing because you're so used to it. It's dangerous." And then I was like, you know what? Me, I believe in the word of God. So this is how you even get to your clients. That's why you're always number one. So I challenged myself that. I told mom that, I met this girl and this is what she does. And mom told me, there is power in the word of God. Confess the word of God daily. You are the head and not the tail. You are the favorite of the Lord. So that very 2 weeks later, when it came to numbers of cells in the office, I was number one. Number of cells, I was number one. It's just, she went and looked for something greater. But she could not understand. And at that time, I was not a child of God like I am right now, that is practicing fully, you know, attentive. I was just a baby who believed in what my mother told me, that the word of God has power. Now, can you imagine if, and at that time, it was not the time when I believed in God and pastor took me away from it. You know what I mean? This was in my youth. And I said, wow, God is good. So when you get delivered, then what? Let's go back. Deliverance is like cleaning a temple. And we all know that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So if we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, we need to look after this body that God has entrusted with us. We have to take care of it. We have to water it. You know, we have to feed it. And the only thing that we can eat is the bread of life, and that is the word of God. So, what are you saying? Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. Together. Brother Paul, I'm waiting on you. You want me to read it? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I come. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with the wicked generation. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Jesus gave us nuggets to maintain our deliverance. And it's up to us to submit to the will of God. And it's up to us to confess that Jesus is Lord over our lives. And it's up to us to make a decision to leave the Jesus way. And it's up to us when he talks about cleansing, that means it's important for us to cleanse certain things from our temple. Because when we come, we are always walking daily. We are growing every day. There are certain things that we grew up with and thought that this is right when it was wrong. So how do we come out of that bondage? How do we come out of those things that we believe were true? By cleansing the temple. And so if we've cleansed the temple, how do you maintain the apple of God's eye? God's masterpiece that he said he created you fearfully and wonderful. How do you maintain that beauty that is inside you? Because I recall when I became born again, I looked at the back and I saw myself in darkness, in filthiness. And I asked why. He says, you've been filthy all this time, but I can clean you up. And so it's up to you to either look back or to look forward. So when I chose to look forward, and I was told that when you put your hand, that's it. You don't go back. And most of us, sometimes we have this attitude. We get excited with the things of God. We put our hand, and then we still look back, and we want to continue to enjoy the filthiness. But that's not the way it should be. When you make up your mind in totality, and if you truly love who you are and who created you, you will choose to walk right. You will choose to serve the Lord with gladness. You will choose to heed to what God is saying in this season. Because tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Today we can all leave this place and get excited. But when we reach home, we may not even get to home. And we may be hit by a car. We don't know. So I want you all to take this thing seriously. Choose to live a lifestyle that glorifies God, that will blossom wherever you are. You are his signpost. Because Apostle Paul gave an example of a house that was in order with God's word, a house that had been cleansed of unclean spirit. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 to 22. Because he reminded Timothy that a lifestyle that we need to live in is a life that glorifies God. And how can we glorify God? By living a vessel of honor. So let's just, I'll go back. 19 is not what I really wanted, but I want us to start from 19 to 22. Amen? He says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. So if you call upon the name of the Lord out of the pure heart, it's not about choice. It's about discipline and heeding to the word of God. Make Jesus Lord over all areas of your life. Let's look at John 3:30. Jesus tells us, we must increase, but I must decrease. Tell your neighbor, I must increase in Jesus. And all that I am has to decrease. I am a new creation. Amen. So if you're a new creation, quit sinning. That's it. It will not give a legal right for the enemy. Sin opens the door to the enemy. Righteous lifestyle is a wall that completely shuts out the devil. Amen. Let's look at the man. Think of just, brother, no, we don't need to look at it, but we can just touch a bit of it. Think of a man at the pool of Bethesda when Jesus told him, quit sinning. Get up. Did you think he was wrong? But he knew that his complete deliverance and healing will be maintained if he doesn't go back to his filthiness. Let's look at John 5:14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. That's the word. So, Jesus tells us, quit sinning. Live a righteous lifestyle. A righteous lifestyle is a wall that completely shuts the devil. That's it. And that's why we're always told that agents of change, we need to be selfless, prayerful, evangelistic, empowering, and disciple makers. Period. God has given us something. He's also told us, speak the word. Pray the word, eat and excel, and do the word of God. It's nothing new. God has been speaking to us all these years. And for who we are told to be selfless people that are centered on the word of God. So in all things, it is the word that unlocks, the word that protects, the word is what waters you and cleanses you. It is the word that renews your mind and breaks those strongholds in your mind, your thought processes. It is the word that is empowering, and Jesus is the word. Amen. And the other thing is, we are told is, don't fear. God always reminds us when we see Apostle Paul telling us, do not fear, because God has not given you what? Fear, but love and of a sound mind. Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy will give you deception, and he will give you anxiety, and you fall in that place where you don't even know what has happened. Suddenly, your heart is palpitating, and you are like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But that's not the key. I remember many, many years ago when my dad and my mom were in the doctor, seeing a doctor. And this Indian man doctor came and told, as my dad is, actually my mom was already seated, but my dad was walking into that room. And before my dad could enter the room, he says, oh, Mr. Simiti, your wife is dying. Are you ready now? Have you prepared the coffin and everything? I mean, my dad just took and looked at him. And then my mom, knowing my dad, my mom had to say, let the peace of God reign. Because my dad was almost, and even though my mom kept on whispering, let the peace of God reign, my dad slapped the doctor because he was so upset. He says, next time, if they did not teach you, you wait for the man to sit down. And then you tell him. And you learn how to bring out what you have to say. Because I'm still holding to my God. And of course, he held on to his God, and 3 months later, my mom was gone. Say, agent of change, God is with me. All the time. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you know the truth will set you free. You know what God has said concerning you, so utilize that word for your life. Then you will not fear. Amen. Because in Psalm 23 verse 4 says that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's there? The rod is with you. Mm-hmm. So let's look at Psalm 23 verse 4 and we all read together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's the assurance of God's word concerning your life. So what, no matter what situation comes in the night season, you cannot fear. You have no room but to call upon the name of the Lord. And that the only way you have that authority is having Jesus in your life. Amen? Because you are the redeemed of the Lord, the enemy will try and convince you that you are defeated. But the truth remains the same, that your rod, your staff, they comfort you. So speak the truth about who you are, about yourself, about your family, with every assault that comes your way. No matter what weapon they are using, utilize the word of God. Let's look at Romans 8, 38 to 39. The word of the Lord says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, how God is so beautiful. Remember how I had said that when I looked forward, I saw the light, and when I saw the light, I saw something that was so unique and so beautiful, and I realized that we're two different people, but I was the same person. But then, I'm like, What's this, Lord? This is who you're going to be. And this is your desire to be. It's a choice. It's either you choose to remain the way you are, or you go walking in the light and flee from darkness. When Jesus is not part of your life, you are lost. Everything looks good, but that's not the key. Everything looked awesome and beautiful, but that was not life. And when I stand here today and I look back, I am thankful. That's why I say, oh, glory and honor belongs to Him. Because in every situation we go through in life, from the time I was born, I battled to exist. And so, even though I thought it was just, everything looked beautiful, that was life, that was good. And when I ever found myself in a place of trouble, in an instant, because of growing, and thank God for parents who raise you in the Word. Thank God for parents who bring you. And it's also so important to honor what they say. You know? Honor your parents. Follow the commandments, men and women of God. Sometimes you just get to a place where you look and it looks so good and you step back and you thought it was luck. No. And then you refuse to get into a car when everybody else is so excited to get into that car. And then your heart just becomes hardened and you're like, I changed my mind. But you're the one who was so excited. I said, I've changed my mind. And then I remember my mom's word that, you know, just don't always ask yourself where you're going. Ask for God's direction. And I was saying, but I wanted to go, but then I heard my mom's voice. But I knew that today, I know that that was just God speaking to me. Immediately those people left. When they were returning, others were dropped, but the two who were returning never got to their destination. They died on the spot. And so when I came to know the Lord that night, when God showed me my life, I realized that many of those people never made it, and they'll never make it unless God just, I don't know, but I knew. So I knew that very night I wasn't going to make it to heaven at all if I died right there and then. Say the word of God brings destruction. It's a discerner of thoughts, the intents of the heart. It's a division to the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. Jesus used the word of God to overcome the enemy. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, when he answered the devil himself. When I answered to the call of what God used through a person, as he ministered the word of God, that altar call stayed for almost 30 minutes waiting for one person, and that was me. When others all went, I was seeing different people go, but I was like, that's not for me. Me, I know Jesus. I sat there. I did not know him. When you know Jesus, you will live by his word. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's just the beginning. But your lifestyle has to reflect him and him alone. Yes, we fall short, but God says you will get up. You can. And you can say with God's strength, I can do all things. And so when temptation comes, you can still flee. You don't have to go all the way, because Jesus is there with you. So set your minds on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Let's look at Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2, and we'll also look at Romans 8, 5. Set your mind on Jesus. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. That's godly instruction. So my journey began to understand who he is, not what I thought I knew of him. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. So live according to the word of God. Dig into the word of God. There is truth. A man's mind is light. And that is why many years ago, I remember God taught me in 2010 to, between July and November, when I was making a certain decision in my life. By the time December came, I gave up everything, because he says that choose to walk in my light, because that's the key. So, and he told me this, when a man's mind is filled with the light of God, Satan's darkness will find no place to stay. Sometimes you go through a place where you are battling with God, and God is instructing you to do certain things. But sometimes because you want the desires of the world, you desire who you want to maintain or to be comfortable where you are. So we don't want to give up. We don't want to give up associations. We don't want to give up the things we were doing. So we still have them. But sometimes he tells you that even your job you give up, even your finances you give up, everything, and you choose him. Maybe you've never been there, but I got to a place where I thought I gave up everything already, and I told God I have given up so much. But he says, no, you haven't. And that's why you're struggling where you are. You're struggling, and you're finding yourself, you're fighting with things, but you're fighting me. And so you have this, you have to just get to a place, say, I will discern. Tell yourself, I will discern what's good, what's evil. When you have the word of God, you'll be able to know the voice of God. When you have the word of God, you'll be able to know that these are instructions from God, not from the enemy. So let there be light. Say, let there be light in your life. And many times we struggle with telling others about our encounters with Jesus. We struggle telling others the testimony of God's goodness in our life. We struggle telling others that Jesus is Lord, and this is the journey we have chosen. God tells us in Revelations 12:11, let's look at that. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. The word of our testament causes others to come to Christ. When you came to Christ, part of your deliverance is to make others know him. And so we find that we fidget in our telling others about Jesus and where to begin. But it's your testimony that will bring deliverance and healing in somebody's life. And that will be a point where you can bring someone to know him. Amen? The testimony of God's goodness. Testify what God has done for you in your life. It's a key to maintaining your deliverance. And that encouragement, it means that you are entrusting who you are unto God. You believe and you want to glorify Him. You want to show off who Jesus is. Amen. So with that, when you're trying to show off, one of the things that we see Apostle Paul do is that he never was ashamed of the gospel. It did not matter where he was. If he sees something that is not right, he will rebuke it. Now imagine when Paul encountered that slave girl. He was able to use a powerful tool. Because God expects us in Isaiah 61, let's read verse 3. He expects us to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful ashes, the oil of joyful mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's the key. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Say, put on the garment of praise. I will put on the garment of praise. Because it silences the enemy. Always remember what happened in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 to 20. And lastly, before we end, surround yourself with a positive environment where your faith will be built. Be planted in a sheepfold. Be planted in the house of God, where you will flourish. Walk in the light. Walk in love. Forgive others. Confess your wrongdoings daily. In 1 John 1:7 it says, if we walk in the light as himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And in Proverbs 13:20, it says, keep company with the wise and you'll become wise as well. Say, I need wisdom. And so when you come under the wisdom of God, you will understand why Hebrews 10:25 is so key, because we cannot forsake the assembly of being together with other believers. Because when we come to the house of God, there is a solution to all things that we're facing. Even as we are seated, from the time we take time to pray to the time we end the service, something is always manifesting. Never disregard. I went to a business seminar and I came to know Jesus. I really never wanted to go to that business seminar. I thought I'm just pleasing my husband. But I thank God that I went, because no matter what you struggle with, I thought all the time, I'm in the house of God, I'm doing ministry, I'm doing everything, I have God for me. Until that very December when he told me, no, you're not with me. I actually don't even know who you are. As we conclude, think of Daniel. A man full of God's wisdom, a man full of discipline, a man who was excellent in every way. When others were using delicacies, when others were fawning, he chose to discipline himself. He chose to honor God. He chose not to defy who he was. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. When we look at Daniel 1:8. To his credit, Daniel, as he chose to walk for God, as he chose to serve God with gladness, as he chose to pray, to be a man of prayer, because you need to have the Holy Spirit with you. So live a life that is worthy, because when you obey, the Holy Spirit is with you. in simplicity as I speak today. I want to encourage you, refuse to do what others are doing out there and choose to maintain the glorious walk with Christ Jesus. Regardless of any fallout that might come about as a result of standing their guns and refusing to compromise, examples of strange fire would mean when a male and a female friend are not married and them being together. There are certain things that we think. I remember many years ago, you know, I was saying that I don't think I steal. I don't think I steal. Even today, you know, you think you don't steal. But the pens that you're taking from the place of work every single day and you come with it at home. I mean, I know of people who will say that the toilet paper I can take, the patients won't miss it. The gloves that are there, they won't miss it. I use it. Let me use it. After all, I'm not being paid properly. We are stealing. You're wondering where the foothold is? You're stealing. Those are strange fires that you're bringing upon yourself. They look simple. When you're going in and you're clocking in late, when you're supposed to be 9 and then you pretend it was 9, and when actually you were there at 10. Who are you telling? Who are you lying to? Yourself? But Jesus sees. The devil knows. Don't become vulnerable. Don't give the enemy legal right. Don't sleep angry. They look simple. Even just serving in the house of God, it's a command that God wants us to do. So if you're not serving, find something to do, brothers and sisters. Don't give room to the enemy. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the Lord be magnified this morning in your lives and outdo Daniel. You can be excellent in every way. There may be times in our lives where we find ourselves in some unique circumstance, but our God still expects us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, whatever the situation may be. No one is suggesting that it's easy to do, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We can remain faithful to the Lord, all of us. There is nothing too hard. No matter what surrounds you, you can be that overcomer. You can maintain the goodness of what God is doing. And remember that deliverance is a lifelong process. So why not maintain it? Amen. Being a Christian is a lifestyle. Choose to glorify Him in that lifestyle. Let the Master see that tree, that fruit that is flourishing in that beautiful garden. Stand and keep standing. Stay put and refuse to be moved. Let Jesus be Lord over your life in every circumstance. May we arise. Brothers and sisters, I want you to take time and identify areas in your life that are contradicting. Do you think that you are a vessel of honor in God's house? Do you think that you are a vessel that is flourishing and standing? And every step that you make is a step that God Himself is glorified? Because the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Let Him be the one that leads you. Let Him be the one that guides you. Let Him be the one that drives you. But God says He gave us the willpower. So it's up to us. Amen. So let's just pray. Just search in your heart. of the living.